Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
You are. Love,
I had my share
of love abuse.
Manipulated. And its strength.
Misused.
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored
me
because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny. Because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love. Love is patient.
Hello, out there in podcast land. Good evening. And welcome to an Hodge to Hodge podcast on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and this is Nurse Carmen. And we thank you for tuning in. And now we'll have a message from the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening.
Hey, I should have bought a Honda.
Should have bought a Honda.
I should have bought a Hyundai. Go ahead. Oh. It'll come to you. It'll come to you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, ladies, it's an honor to be here today. I thank you. I thank you, Sister T, for tuning in. You got it on mute, but you tuned in, so that's a beautiful thing.
I'm here. Hi.
Hello. I wanna go back to how this process of self-knowing must work, because this seems to be something that people have a hard time understanding. And what I'm going to use the mythology that we all use as God, as the Father. That's the model that we use and we're all familiar with. And there is only one way that God could have caused all of his spirit children to know themselves as part of him. And that way was simply to tell them, which God did. But you see, it was not enough for spirit to simply know itself as God or part of God or children of God or inheritance of the kingdom or whatever mythology you want to use. As I've already explained, knowing something and experiencing it are two different things. Spirit longed to know itself spiritually. Conceptual awareness was not enough for us. So God devised a plan. It is the most extraordinary idea in all of the universe and the most spectacular collaboration. I say collaboration because all of us are in with it. All of us had a part in it. If you remember many of our conversations, we spoke about how we put this together because we all collaborated with God because we are all part of God. Now, under the plan, you as pure spirits would enter the physical universe just created. This is because physicality is the only way to know exponentially, what you know conceptually. It is, in fact, the reason God created the physical cosmos to begin with and the system of relativity which governs it and all creation. Once in the physical universe, we could experience what you know of yourself. But first you had to come to know the opposite. To explain this simplistically, you cannot know yourself as tall and until you become aware of short. You cannot experience the part of yourself that you call fat unless you also come to know thin. Taken to ultimate logic, you cannot experience yourself as what you are until you've encountered what you are not. This is the purpose of the theory of relativity. In all physical life, it is by that which you are not that you make yourself or define. Now, in the case of ultimately knowing, in the case of knowing yourself as the creator, you cannot experience yourself as creator unless and until you create. And you cannot create yourself until you uncreate yourself. In a sense, you have to first not be in order to be. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, sir, my brother. I understand. I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Of course, there is no way for you to not be who or what you are. You simply are that. Pure creative spirit. Have been, always, and always will be. So you did the next best thing. You caused yourself to forget who you really are. Upon entering this physical universe, you relinquish your remembrance of yourself. This allows you to choose to be who you are, rather than simply wake up in the castle, so to speak. It is in the act of choosing to be, rather than simply being told that you are a part of God, that you experience yourself as being a total choice, which is what, by definition, God is. Yet, how can you have a choice about something over which there is no choice? You cannot be God's offspring no matter how hard you try, but you can forget. So I just want to stop there for one moment because that's real important. And this is one of the things that I've said to us on numerous occasions when I even spoke about we always looking at things as right and wrong and what pleases God and stuff of that nature. No matter how hard we try, and that's why I say even if you're an atheist, it does not matter. If you're blind, you don't know that you're black or white. But you are that regardless to whether you know it or not. It does not change the fact whether you know it or not. And so this is what we're dealing with. So because we've chosen to forget, now we have to understand that we have always been and always will be a divine part of the divine whole, a member of the body. This is why the act of rejoining the whole, of returning to God, is called remembrance. You actually choose to remember who you really are, or to join together with the various parts of you to experience the all of you, which is to say, the all of God. Your job on earth, therefore, is not to learn. Because as I said so many times before, because you already know, but to remember who you are and to remember who everyone else is. This is why a big part of your job is to remind others. That is to remind them so that they can remember also. All the wonderful spiritual teachers have been doing just that. It is your sole purpose. That is to say, your sole purpose. little play on words, but did you get that? It is your soul purpose, and it is the purpose of your soul to remind you who you are. And this is why when we have our conversations, we're always talking about listen to your soul. Not your mind, but your soul, because your soul is trying to tell you who you are. And this is why your soul will always give you the information to make you the highest and the best person that you can be, because the soul knows that it is part of the body of God.
Amen.
I just want that to marinate for a little
bit. Okay,
as I said it to myself, my soul itself rejoiced because it is so important. And I have these conversations with people all the time. And sometimes I guess they say, well, how come that's all he always want to talk about? And nobody don't want to listen to me because they're so forgetful of who they really are, and all they can remember is what people are telling them they are today. But it is our job to remind them, just as the Jehovah's Witnesses get out there every day and telling people, just as the Baptists are telling people, it is our job to remind people who they really are. Because if we can get them to understand who they really are, then we can have a shift in this whole society, because then we'll begin to act as who we really are. Because right now we're acting like we're something different. We act like we got no power. We act like we can't create anything. We act like the devil is after us. We're great actors, but it's time for us to be who we really are. It says, if God is all perfect and all loving, why would God create pestilence, and famines, wars and diseases, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and all manner of natural diseases? The answer to this question lies in the deeper mysteries of the universe and the highest meaning of life. God does not show his goodness by creating only that which is called perfect all around you. He does not demonstrate his love by not allowing you to demonstrate yours. As I've already explained, you cannot demonstrate love until you can demonstrate not loving. A thing cannot exist without its opposite, except in the world of the absolute. Yet the realm of the absolute was not sufficient for either you or God. Because God exists there in the always and in it from where you two have come. In the absolute, there is no experience, only knowing. Knowing is a divine state. Yet the grandest joy is in being. Being is achieved only after experience. The evolution in this is knowing, experience, and being. This is the Holy Trinity, the triune that is God. Knowing, experiencing, and being. We always we want to give the Trinity. This is the Holy Trinity. God the Father is knowing, the parent of all understanding, the begetter of all experiences, for you cannot experience that which you do not know. God, the Son, is experiencing the embodiment, the acting out of all that the Father knows of itself, for you cannot be that which you have not experienced. God, the Holy Spirit, is being, embodiment of all that the Son has experienced of itself, the simple, the exquisiteness. Possibly only through the memory of the knowing and experience. This simple being is bliss. It is God's state. After knowing and experiencing itself, it is that for which God yearns in the beginning. Now, I know I've said a lot here, but I just wanted to soak in for us to understand how we've looked at things through so many different prisms of people explaining different things to us from their point of view. But I say again, and I have to say this again, please don't go by this is what the messenger said. Go by this is what my spirit is telling me. And the spirit longs for you to know who you are. If you're a king, you don't want to be shackled down in, as a beggar all your life, do you? And that's what the soul, and the soul isn't going to force itself because it knows who it is. It just wants you to know. And the only way you can truly know is if you will just stop and listen to it. Listen to what it is, because it's got some good stuff to tell you, because it knows everything. So I say that to us because it's important for us to kind of understand what it is that I was trying to get across, as opposed to knowing who we are. It's not just simply because we all think, no matter what is being said to us or taught to us, we all think that we are that person that we see in the mirror. We all think that life is a school. We're here for a lesson, to learn something. And I'm here to tell you, you are not here to learn anything. You are here to remember and recreate who you are. And you have to, if you don't create who you really are, then that means that you cannot be who you really are. It is your job to create that. So we got it. We've got that using that analogy, we've got to let loose of that woe is me, because it is up to us. And we've got many examples of people that have far worse than we are, in far worse conditions than we are, and they didn't do the woe is me thing. They pulled themselves up by the bootstraps. Now look where they are. So it's important for us to understand these things, because we are special. We are part of the divinity. But we can't be part of the divinity until we understand where and who it is that we come from. Now, as I wind that up, and I want that to kind of meditate a little bit, want that to marinate a little bit within us, I want to get back to the Hyundai thing. I want to get back to that. I should have brought a Hyundai.
Remember Cat Williams did that thing. He said that that's how people be speaking in tongue in church. That song just touched me. That's all, man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see? You're slipping, man.
All right.
Should have bought a Hyundai.
Should have bought a Hyundai. Okay.
All right, now we got it. Okay, bro.
Okay. E-L-L-O-C-G.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, man.
All right.
See.
So, as does anyone have anything that they would like to add to that, something that they would like to say with regards to that? Because I just wanted to touch on the importance of us understanding who we are, as opposed to what people are always telling us that we are.
I just think it's, you know, when you come into that knowledge, it's beautiful, but getting there, it's not easy, because we're so used to going left when all the time we should be going right. It takes a while to continue to go right. You know what I mean? So when you begin to understand the power and the creativity that you naturally have, sometimes it can be a bit awesome. And if you don't process it right, again, you don't believe that it's actually you. So therefore, you revert back to what it is that you're comfortable with.
Right. But, you know, and you said it's not easy, but truthfully, it is easy. We just make it hard. Remember I told you before, we love drama. We don't want to admit it, but we love drama. Because just as you said, and I'm with you 100%, but if we break it down, just as you said it was hard, if I know, all I got to do is trust the spirit within me. And the spirit within me is talking to me. All I got to do is listen to it. And I got a better outcome. There's no way I can have a worse outcome. Isn't that easy to do?
Yep.
When you say it, yes. When you say it, yes. But, you know, sometimes, again, until you fully realize how awesome the spirit is, you know, things can look a little bleak.
Well, it looks bleak because it's not giving you the answer that you want. And so because it's not giving you the answer that you really want, you don't really pay attention to it. And when you know when I say you, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. This is what we do. We're not when it tells us something, like for instance, if it tells us, no, don't do that today. But you already made up your mind that that's what you're going to do. You allow the mind to override the soul. That choice that you have. Because it's one of two things. You can listen to the mind or you can listen to the soul. And we always know that the soul is going to give you the highest you. Make the best you possible. But sometimes that's not what we're looking for. Why? Because we like drama. We like drama because there's a lot of things that we can pick up and drop off right away, but we hold on to it. And then complain about it, but we hold on to it, and we could have dropped it off a long time ago. Remember they had that song, The Problem I Had, I Turned It Over to the Lord, and He Worked It Out? We turn it over, we take it to the Lord, and we take it right back.
Take it back, amen.
And they want to know why this is still going on, because we didn't leave it there. So I hear what you're saying, my brother. So I don't want you to think that I'm disagreeing with you. I am agreeing with you, but I'm saying that this is something that we say it's hard, but it's only because we're making it hard. Remember the words of Jesus: "The way is so easy, a fool could never."
Yes, sir.
It is easy. We just choose not to. There's some things that your spirit is telling you right now to let go of. And the funny thing about it, if you really pay attention, it's not the things that most people think it is.
Right.
For instance, a glass of wine, the spirit ain't telling you that not to drink it. It might be telling you don't drink too much of it, but it's not telling you not to drink it. But we'll take heed to that. But when the spirit said, well, don't go there, we won't listen to the spirit on that one. So once again, as I said, we've got to learn how, and I, as you said, my brother, that's one of the things we've got to do. We've got to have that made up mind that we are going to be more attentive to the soul and not to the mind. Because a lot of the predicaments and stuff that we're in today is because we were listening to the mind thinking we knew better. but the soul was telling us otherwise. But we remember yet the other day when we did that, the outcomes wasn't that bad. So let's try, let's go with that again. And so we just make that choice, even though the soul is telling us something totally different. Soul told you you could wear white pants and it ain't got to be Memorial Day. The mind said, no, that's taboo. What do? We listen to the mind.
Hey, Brother Messenger.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, tonight I was wondering if we skip Mom's closing and we went ahead and closed with your opener, would that be all right, my brother?
You got no problems with me on that, bro.
Hey,
I've
to the podcast.
I've been trying to get you to do that for a while.
All right. Well, tonight, tonight we're going to let Mom take a break. Just tonight.
Okay. But here's what I'm going to do for you.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm going to give you a little bit of it.
And if God did it for me, okay, he'll do the same thing for you.
Hey, good night, podcast audience. Thanks for tuning in to The Messenger on Blog Talk Radio.
Love is felt most when it's genuine. I had my share of love abuse. Manipulated, and its strength misused. And I can't help.
As we listen to this, I just want to say this: all human action,
when I think about my story,
is love.
Oh yeah, y'all.
One of two emotions.
I got a story to tell.
Fear or love. In truth, there are only two emotions, only two words in the language of the soul. These are the opposite ends of the great polarity which God created. He produced the universe and your world as you know it today. These are the two points, the Alpha and the Omega, which allow the system you call reality to be. Without these two points, without these two ideas about things, no other idea could exist. The moment of your greatest exuberance, and did you not encourage you to set aside some of your wildest imagination? These are the messages you receive, and though they do not meet the criteria and are thus not messages from God, they might as well have been, for they have come from the God of your universe surely enough. It was your parents who taught you that love is conditional. You have felt their conditional many times, and that is the experience you take into your own love relationship. It is also the experience you bring to God. For this experience, you draw your conclusions about God. Within this framework, you speak your truth. God is a loving God, you say. But if you break his commandments, he will punish you with eternal banishment and everlasting damnation. For you have not experienced the damnation from your own parents. Do you know the pain of damnation? How then could you imagine it to be any different with God? You have forgotten what it was like to be loved without condition. You do not remember the experience of the love of God, and you try to imagine what God's love must be like based on what you love in the world. You have projected the role of parent unto God and have thus come up with a God who judges and rewards or punishes based on how good he feels about what you've been up to. But this is a simplistic view of God based on your mythology. It has nothing to do with who God really is.
He favored me. It will not fall. Not gonna.
bend. Won't compromise.
Won't compromise. I speak
prosperity. And I speak health.
I speak
health. I speak love. I speak the world that we be.
They told their lies. But God saved me.
My
character.
My integrity.
Everything was in question. But he saved me. I promised him that I wouldn't compromise. Although I was going through. And I spoke life. And I spoke prosperity. And I spoke health. See,
I'm speaking life, prosperity, and health to those that are listening. Receive it. Believe it. Experience it. Co-producer, you crying?
Good night, podcast audience.
Good night.
Co-producer, you ain't answering me.
No, I'm good. I'm solid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.